Good morning. Well, I'm excited about this morning. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share a little bit about what God's done in my life over the years. I shared a month ago, I think it was, about 4 weeks ago. You remember I shared about how the Lord moved in my life to set me free from a lot of fear. He showed me His great love for me, and that's what set me free. The Lord teaches us mainly from His Word, right? Thank God for His Word. He also comes and He gives us experiences in life where we can experience God in our life. And we learn from that, don't we? Every time we experience Him in our life, it changes us and we grow. And so I've had some experiences. I came back to the Lord in 1975. I had a radical experience. I was radically changed. I just totally surrendered to the Lord at that time in my life. I remember the next day after I had come back to the Lord, I had one person really heavy on my heart. She was my best friend, and she was my sister, my natural sister. And we had sinned together. We had been partners in sin for a while. But I loved her so much, and we were so close, and I wanted to tell her about what had happened to me and about Jesus, and that Jesus loved her and wanted her heart. And I'll never forget, I had a conversation with her about it, and she looked at me and she said, Elaine, I'll give you 30 days. This might last 30 days, and then you'll go back to the way you were. It's not going to last. Well, that was almost 36 years ago. And God has been taking me on a wonderful journey with Him and changing me all along the way and revealing Himself to me in a powerful way. And I want to share some of that with you this morning. I think God created every human being with this place inside of them that's empty. We go through life trying to fill that emptiness. In reality, most of us don't realize it at the time, but we're crying out, and the cry of every human heart is, show me the Father. Show me the Father. We want to know the Father God. You know, you might remember that statement. It came from Philip in the Bible when Jesus was talking to them. And Jesus was toward the end of His ministry and life here on earth. And Philip spoke up and said, Jesus, just show us the Father. Just show us the Father and we'll believe. He had that cry in his heart, show me the Father. But you know, there's been another cry since the foundations of the world. And that's the cry of the Father, the cry of the Father God. And He says, I want you to know me. I want you to know who I am, who I really am. I want you to know what I'm like. I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know me. Most of us have experienced a lot of misrepresentation of who the Father is. It may have started as a little child, and your father, your natural father here on earth, maybe he wasn't a very good representation of the Father God. Maybe you never could do anything good enough for him. And didn't you always want your father to love you and accept you? Didn't you just long for that acceptance from your natural father? But many of us never received that acceptance. And many people instead received criticism and even abuse. So the Father God has been misrepresented, I think, to all of us in some degree or another. Maybe you had a wonderful natural father, but he wasn't perfect like my Heavenly Father. He made mistakes. The Heavenly Father is perfect. His love for us is absolutely perfect and unconditional. It's not based on what we do or don't do. He loves us no matter what we do. There's a lot of people that reject Him. I hope none of you have. But a lot of people reject Him. But you know what? He still loves them just as much as He loves us. His love is perfect, and it's so high, and it's so deep, and it's so great that it's hard to wrap our intellect around it, isn't it? It's something that we really begin to understand by the Spirit as we walk as His children. I remember, I guess it was about 10 years ago, I was in my first cell group in the fellowship. I was blessed to have Boo and Randall Jove in my cell group at the time. Randall is a storyteller, isn't he? He has such insights. And I'll never forget a story that he shared with us in a cell group one night. And he was wanting to relate to us the difference between a father and a mother. And I never forgot that, Randall. And it was just a simple story. It was an example. And he said that when his boys were small, one of them was small, and Randall was out back trying to teach his son how to ride a new bike. He was teaching him how to ride a bike for the first time. And Boo was up at the back door, I think on the patio or the porch, looking out at them. And he said the boy, his son, got on the bike and started riding, and he fell. The bike fell, and the boy fell. And Boo's reaction as a good mother, a nurturer, a caregiver, she runs out to her son to try to bind up his wounds and you know, comfort him. Don't we mothers love to do, I mean, we were created to do that, weren't we, as mothers? But here's the father, Randall, comes over to the scene and he says, no, he picks him, the little boy up and picks the bike up and he said, you're getting right back on the bike. You're okay. You're okay. Well, Boo kind of backs away from what she is wanting to do. And Randall puts the boy back on the bike, and his son learns to ride the bike. You see the difference between a father and a mother? I thought that was such a good picture. But our Heavenly Father, He's like that as a father. You know, sometimes He has to use tough love. You know, if you remember my testimony a few weeks ago, about the trip to Switzerland, how I was so tormented by fear and all these things I had to face that I was so afraid of. But God had me face those fears because He loved me so much. He wanted to set me free. He wanted me to be totally free of that horrible fear that I had grown up with. But that was tough love. A mother might not want to do that. Sometimes we mothers have to use tough love too, but I think it's a little more difficult for mothers to step into that tough love than it is for fathers. But the neat thing about our Father God is, yes, He's that Father, that wonderful Father, but He also has some aspects of the mother as well. The Bible, you know, you can find a lot of scriptures talking about that He's a nurturer. He's the bread of life. He's the fountain of life. And that's where we go to get nurtured. And He's a caregiver and He's a comforter. So He's just amazing, absolutely amazing. Now there's one thing that the Bible makes very clear. Jesus is the one that said it when He was walking the earth. And He said, no one comes to the Father except through Me. We got to go through Jesus. And I want to read you a scripture. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, in the book of John, it's John 17, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's Christ's high priestly prayer, as it's referred to, right before He goes to the cross. He's already met with the disciples and explained to them what's ahead, that He's going to the cross, that He's going to die. But, you know, all these things that He shared with them. And then He goes before the Father God to pray. In chapter 17, Jesus prays, Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put Him in charge of everything human, so He might give real and eternal life to all in His charge. All this is real and eternal life, that they know You, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You sent. I glorified You on earth by completing down to the last detail what You assigned Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me with Your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in Your presence before there was a world. I spelled out Your character in detail to the men and women you gave me. They were yours in the first place. Then you gave them to me. And they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them, and they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine, and my life is on display in them. For I am no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart, one mind, as we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them in the pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a night watch, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction. And that was Judas Iscariot. And what I wanted you to see in that is that Jesus came to this earth to reveal the Father to us. You know, you probably, if I ask you the question, why did Jesus come, many of you would say, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. Well, that's true. But why did God want us to be saved? Because he loved us and he wanted us in his family. He wants relationship with us. And so he knew that blood had to be shed. And he knew that perfect, sinless blood had to be shed. So he sent his only son, Jesus, so that he could give his life and shed his blood for all mankind, every person ever born. He died for all of us. So Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, because the heart cry of the Father is, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. You know, I want to share some examples. One example especially, a testimony that I have, where God revealed his heart to me, but to someone that I was very close to as well. I was with my sister when she was dying about 14 years ago. And my sister was diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer, mid-November of, I think it was 1996. And that doctors told her that it was very aggressive cancer and that she probably didn't have more than 3 months to live. But they didn't think that anything they had would help her, except that if she took the chemo, it might give her just a little bit more time. So she opted for the chemo. When I came back to the Lord in 1975, I was telling everybody about Jesus. I was so in love with him, and I wanted everybody to know about him, about his love. So I was really witnessing to all my family members. And so my sister gave her heart to the Lord shortly after I came back to the Lord. But my sister, although we grew up in church, she stopped going to church when she was a teenager. And she had not been in church, I don't think, since then, or much to speak of. I guess she went to some weddings in churches, but she gave her heart to the Lord, but she never got connected with a group of believers, a body of believers. She never started going to church. So eventually, you know, I did see a change in her. I knew that it was genuine, but eventually she just started going back out into the world of sin, and she didn't resemble a believer really anymore for years. And the thing about my sister, I loved her, but she was the type of person that would not forgive any wounds or offenses or hurts. And so she just went through her adult life holding grudges, and she had a lot of bitterness in her heart, and it caused her heart to really harden. So when she was diagnosed with cancer, and she was told, you're not going to make it. You're not going to live long at all. Well, It caused her to turn around and call out to the Lord again. We could see a change in her pretty immediate as she began to seek the Lord. and surrender to the Lord. I'm convinced that during those couple of months there, she was seeking to know God. She actually died January 26th the following year, so she lived maybe 2.5 months after the diagnosis. But what I want to share with you, she was at hospice in January for 3 weeks in the hospital, in the hospice unit, and she didn't want to die in the hospital, so she went to her daughter's home, and they brought in the hospital bed and everything, and she went down pretty quick. She stopped eating, and my niece, her daughter, was caring for her around the clock. So one day I told her, let me come tonight, and I'll stay in her room with her so you can get some sleep. So I went to be with my sister, and I took my CD player and a wonderful CD of healing scriptures with this beautiful worship music in the background. And I went, and I put that on and played it all night in her room. Now, Barbara, she was on a morphine drip. I was supposed to give her more morphine every 15 minutes. She actually needed it every 5 minutes. And because it was bone cancer, and that's usually very painful. So I was with her. She, for most of the night, didn't even acknowledge that I was in the room. She was just out of it, you know, because of all the pain medication and the pain. But as those healing scriptures played and the anointing of God was in that room, something happened to my sister. She had a divine encounter with her Heavenly Father. And I was standing by her bed, and all of a sudden, she had big eyes like me, and her eyes opened as wide as they could open, and she was looking at the ceiling, and she began to have a conversation with God. And she looked up in the ceiling, and she said, "Oh, God! Oh, God, you are the highest, the very highest. And you are so rich." And then she said, "Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. You are such love. You are such love. And all you ever wanted to do was love me. I didn't know. All you ever want to do is love people." So I knew something was happening to my sister. And I knew we were in the holy presence of God. And my sister began to talk, and I could tell by her conversation that she was experiencing heaven. She saw my daddy and my mama, my grandmother. She was speaking these things out. She saw my grandmother's mansion in heaven. She began to sing hymns. I thought, girl, how do you remember those things? Because she hadn't been in church since she was very young. She's singing all these hymns and songs, and I joined in with her. I mean, it was one of the most awesome experiences of my life. At one point, I was standing by her bed, and now this is pretty close to morning at this time, and she has not acknowledged my presence really in the room. All of a sudden, she looks at me, and she grabs my arm, and she starts shaking my arm, and she said, Elaine, I'm free, I'm free. I said, I know, Barbara. And we just rejoiced together. And then she kind of drifted off. So I got, I had a journal with me, and I began to journal everything that I could remember that happened to my sister in that divine encounter, because I wanted to give it to her children. Which I did the next morning. Next morning, she was sleeping when I was, and I left to go get ready for work, to go to the office, and I went to the office, and I got a phone call from my niece, and she said, I had to call the ambulance to come get my mama, because she was trying to get out of the bed, and she fell, and I just can't do this anymore. I've got to take her. She had to go to the hospital, so I put her in the hospice unit again, and I went up there after work, and I stayed all night and the next day. And she never acknowledged anybody's presence in the room, though usually there were people in there. And I don't quite understand what was going on with her. I guess it was just so much medication and pain that she was just out of it. But at one point, the day before the night came when she died, she called out, and she said, "Roger, forgive me. I forgive you." Roger was her former husband, the father of her children. She had had so much bitterness, resentment, hatred, unforgiveness toward him for 25 years. When they separated and divorced, he left her for another woman. She actually gave birth to her third child, and this other woman gave birth very soon after of his other child that he fathered. So she never forgave him. But at the end, she forgave. And I've asked myself many times, God, why did she die? You know, I know that you're the healer. And I'm not standing here saying I understand. I don't fully understand. But I do know that she had such a divine encounter, and she saw heaven. And I've always thought maybe she just wanted to go there so badly. You know, what the reason I share that with you is that changed me forever. I mean, I saw the Father's heart. You know, the Father, his heart is full of compassion. He is so full of mercy. We just don't get it, y'all. His mercy is so far-reaching and so never-ending. It never stops. It never ends. It can reach down to the deepest pit or the highest plateau to the highest heavens. And he is a merciful, loving, compassionate God. Now, let me just share this little important tidbit with you. My sister, at the time when she was diagnosed and when she died, was in an affair with a married man. I got permission from her daughter to share that part. The reason I wanted to share that, this is so important. She didn't deserve a divine visitation from God. You know, this would blow some people, religious minds, wouldn't it? Because so many Christians think you got to do everything just right, and you got to walk according to the word, or you know, God's going to get you, or, you know, he's going to disapprove of you. They don't know my Father. They don't know the heart of my Father. He loves us so much. Even in the midst of our ugliest, dirtiest sin, he loves us just as much as when we're on our knees worshiping him and praising him and surrendering completely to him. He loves us right where we are, and he loved my sister right where she was. He didn't look at what she was doing. He looked at his little girl that he loved, and he just put her in his arms. I remember during the night when she was having that visitation, she called out to God and she said, God, I know you love me, but I want to know you. And that's the cry of our heart. God, I want to know you. I want to know you. It's the cry of every human heart. We have this empty place in here that needs to be filled up. We fill that emptiness until we allow God to fill it. We may turn to relationships to fill it, or maybe we think a wonderful career would fill it, or maybe we're really smart, and so we think the more education we get, then I'll be okay. I'll fill that place up, and I'll feel good, and I'll feel okay. It doesn't work. None of those things work. And if we continue that way, we may turn to substances, you know, alcohol, drugs, pornography, shopping, material things, whatever. And we try to fill that empty place with things or people, and it will never, ever work, will it? Most of you know that. Most of you have opened up your heart to the Lord, and he's come in and filled that place. And so you don't feel that emptiness anymore, unless maybe we wandered away somewhat from him and we began to feel a little bit of that emptiness again. I've been there. Have you? Yeah. And the Father is calling out to us. I want you to know me. I want you to know me. And if we look in the Word of God, I challenge everybody here and everybody within the sound of my voice, go to the Scriptures, go to the Gospels, and read them again with the intent of learning who the Father is. Because you know what? We can look at Jesus and see the Father. We can follow Him as He walked this earth in the Gospels. And we can see how He treated people. What His attitude toward people was. What His attitude toward religious people was. He doesn't like it when we get religious. Because you know what? That's not what He's like. That's not the Father's heart. It's not religious. He loves us. Jesus came to pay our debt that we owed. To pay the penalty for our sins. We don't have to pay it. He did it. That's called grace. So get it out of your brain, your thinking, your belief system, that it has to do with what we do or don't do. Just please stop thinking that way. It's all about what Jesus did for us. If we could just focus on Him, not ourselves, not even on that emptiness that we feel, but take it and focus on Him. If you don't know the Lord, and people have misrepresented Him, and maybe the devil has lied to you. Maybe the devil has said that God took your loved one because he wanted them in heaven. What would that tell you about God if He was really like that? He's been misrepresented. God didn't take my sister. He received her, but He didn't take her. He didn't put that cancer on her. He loved her. Would you put cancer on your child that you love? No way. The Lord wants us to know that He is crying out, I want you to know my heart. The Father wants us to know His heart. He wants us to know that He's compassionate. He's full of love for us. He accepts us. We are His blood. And He wants every human being that's ever been born, or that's alive or will be born, to know Him. Part of His nature, His character, knowing Him, is to know He wants a family. He's a father, and He wants children. You know why? Because He has all this love, and He wants to pour it into His children. Fathers, even natural fathers, they want their kids to grow up and, you know, be, if it's a good father, be like Him maybe. Well, just think of the Father God, His heart that loves His children way beyond anything, any capacity that we have to love our children in our own humanness. So the Father is crying out to you as you cry out to Him. Show me the Father. Jesus showed us the Father. Look at Jesus and you'll see the Father. You'll see the Father's heart. Lord, I just pray for everyone that is hearing this today that You would just go into the depths of their being and show them truth of who You are. Lord, open up their eyes that they would see truth. You are light, Lord. Would You shine Your light in the deep recesses of all our hearts, Lord? And any place in there where there's darkness, where there's lies, where there's those beliefs that You're different from who You really are, would You just shine Your light so that all that darkness is dispersed and we see truth. We see You for who You really are. And Lord, when that happens, we are changed. We are changed. We are changed forever. Thank You, Lord, for Your Spirit, Your Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus and the Father to all of us. Stir up a hunger within us, Lord, a new, fresh hunger to know You and to search for You with all our heart, to be diligent about it. And Lord, as we go back to the Gospels, make it come alive as we look for Your heart, Your character, Your nature. And I bless everyone, Lord, as they go, knowing that You are faithful to reveal Yourself to every single person in Jesus' name. Amen.